The House will be in order. Introduction to bills.
House File 2324 by Baxter and others, a bill for an act relating to the management of drainage or levee districts, including providing for objections by landowners and procedures for making repairs or construction and improving within the district.
First reading bill is now ready for committee or amendment for the Committee on Agriculture.
House File 2325 by Maxwell, a bill for an act providing for the notice regarding a hearing to determine how land within a drainage or levee district can be classified for purposes of assessing that land.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Agriculture.
House File 2326 by Maxwell, a bill for an act relating to improving the land in drainage or levee districts by providing for the construction or reconstruction of drainage tile lines by railroad companies.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Agriculture.
House File 2327 by Olson and others, a bill for an act relating to the pre-existing condition protections and including applicability provisions.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Commerce.
House File 2328 by SEEK, a bill for an act relating to the licensing requirements required related to the provisions of certain fireworks displays and providing penalties.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on State Government.
Senate File 2142 by Committee on Education, a bill for an act relating to the public school funding by establishing a state percentage of growth and a categorical state percentage of growth for the budget year beginning July 1, 2020, modified provisions and referencing related to the property tax replacement payment and including effective date provisions.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment or amendment, passed on file.
Senate File 2164 by Committee on Appropriations, a bill for an act related to the public school funding by modifying provisions related to the school regular to the regular program cost per pupil and to appropriate to the Transportation Equity Fund and including effective date provisions.
First reading bill is now ready for committee amendment passed on file. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, at this time, please recognize Representative Moore for consideration of House File 2244.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore, for opening remarks on House File 2244.
I ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 2144, which is identical to House File 2244.
The gentleman asked for unanimous consent to substitute. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We're now on Senate File 2144. Do you wish opening comments?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 2144 provides supplemental appropriations for two different programs. The bill provides $333,000 to the Glenwood State Resource Center to pay for additional costs incurred in response to the U.S. Department of Justice's investigation. The bill also provides $20 million to the Flood Mitigation Board under the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. These funds shall be used to pay for the state's share of flood recovery efforts as identified by the Flood Mitigation Board. These are my opening comments to the bill, Mr. Speaker. There are amendments.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mills, Representative Seek, for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to suspend the rules for immediate consideration of Amendment H8008 to Senate File 2144, which was not timely filed.
The gentleman asks for unanimous consent to suspend the rules for immediate consideration of H8008. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We are now on H8008. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Mills, Representative Seek, for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment 8008 is a bipartisan amendment making two substantial changes to the bill. First, the amendment increases the appropriation to the Flood Mitigation Board, raising its amount to $21,003,186. This is the amount the board has determined last Thursday to be the immediate needs for projects that are in the areas that may have further flooding this spring, and the projects are ready for construction today. By raising the appropriation to this amount, the board will be able to fund these at the necessary level to start. The amendment also includes reporting language for both the Glenwood Resource Center and the Flood Mitigation Board by requiring Department of Human Services and the Flood Mitigation Board to give us monthly reports. We will be able to track the progress and also identify issues that may require further legislative action this session. This is the amendment. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative McConkie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank Representative Sake for bringing this amendment forward. It adds another little over $1 million to the appropriations for the flood recovery. And what the Flood Mitigation Board have done, there's 38 projects that are top priority, and out of that 38, there's 28 that needs a necessary attention immediately. And the money appropriated, the $20 million, would not cover the 28 projects. And without those being done, being funded, and start the contracts being signed immediately, we're going to be looking at a long recovery and repair. But and a lot of these goes to levies that won't be pulling down federal money. And some of this money will be like a revolving fund going to these projects to qualify them to pull down the federal money and the funds to complete the projects. This $21 million in no way even a drop in a bucket would cover the damages that have been done with this flood. And we're behind the ball. It looks like we're in for more flooding this spring. So I urge this body to support this amendment. At least this will get the ball rolling and help the Flood Mitigation Board appropriate the funds that are needed. Thank you.
There is an amendment to the amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H88012 by Eisenhart of Dubuque.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Dubuque, Representative Eisenhart, for opening comments on H8012.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, appreciate you not skipping past me. This amendment addresses, in part, a point that Representative McConkie made on the main amendment, that being that what we have so far in our flood mitigation fund and what we propose to add to it pales in comparison to the need that's out there now. And I would say that it's going to pale even more by comparison of what we can expect in the future. I fear that our flood disasters are only going to increase in frequency and perhaps severity. And from what I hear so far, from predictions on ground saturation and snow cover north of us, that we're in a dicey situation. So my amendment attempts to look a little bit farther down the road. And what I'd like to do is first tell you what the amendment does and then give you a little background on why it's offered. The amendment goes to the Flood Mitigation Board responsibilities. Current law says that the Flood Mitigation Board shall review all project applications, the projects that we're talking about the funding for today. It says during the review of a project application, the board shall consider, at a minimum, one, whether the project supports flood response, flood recovery, or flood mitigation activities, and two, whether monies from the fund are essential to meet the necessary expenses or serious needs of the political subdivision related to flood response, flood recovery, or flood mitigation. My amendment adds a third bucket of considerations that we would ask the Flood Mitigation Board to consider, and that is whether the project includes components enhancing the project's current or future qualification for the pre-disaster hazard mitigation assistance grant program administered by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, I understand that one of the reasons we're kind of sticking with 20, maybe $21 million is we're unsure about how much federal aid might be available, and we don't want to put too much state money into responding to our floods when the federal money, obviously we'd like that federal money to come into play first. And so this amendment gets at another program that's coming down the line, federal program, that we should be thinking ahead about. It's not currently available, but by the end of this year, it will be. FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program is a post-disaster grant available to eligible communities following a presidentially declared major disaster. The purpose is to help communities enact hazard mitigation measures, decreasing the risk of loss of life and property from future disasters. In addition to post-disaster recovery grants, FEMA awards planning and project grants and provides opportunities for raising public awareness about reducing future losses before disaster strikes through a variety of mitigation grant programs. To be eligible for these grants, FEMA requires state, tribal, local governments to develop and adopt hazard mitigation plans. Through these grants, FEMA provides planning support to develop and update mitigation plans. Now, I was invited last May to attend a flood relief forum in Baltimore, which I did, hosted by Pew Charitable Trust. That foundation has a flood prepared communities effort that this forum was a part of, and it was co-hosted by the National Conference of State Legislatures. So I was there to talk about what we're doing in Iowa with our flood center and other things. A lot of folks didn't know about it. We have a lot of experience with flooding in Iowa. Other states don't have as much. They appreciated hearing about our experience. But I also found out a little bit more about what's coming down the pike that we should be prepared more than any other state, in my opinion, to take advantage of when the time comes. And that's called the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Program, or BRIC, B-R-I-C. This is the new version of their pre-disaster mitigation assistance grant program. It's developed to create a safer, stronger, more resilient nation before disasters. It allows for greater investment in pre-disaster mitigation and includes a focus on ensuring the nation's infrastructure can better withstand severe weather and other natural hazards. Although FEMA is still in the research and development phase of BRIC, the first grant application period is anticipated to begin in fall 2020. Often, mitigation measures and projects require a community to provide advanced funding for planning and projects when federal grant funding is not available. However, the planning and investment put toward mitigation has been shown time and time again to prevent costly disaster impacts. And we could talk about some of those examples in more detail if you'd like. What's new about this is the money for BRIC comes from a 6% set-aside of FEMA's disaster recovery program's obligations of the previous year from their disaster relief fund. In other words, they're taking money that they would normally give us to recover and say, why don't we invest that in prevention? BRIC will receive a steady funding stream rather than relying on annual congressional appropriations. FEMA estimates that the program will be funded at $300 million to $500 million per year, with significantly greater amounts of money in years that have a high number of catastrophic disaster obligations, which, as I said earlier, I predict we may be seeing. The federal non-federal match is expected to be 75-25, 75% federal, 25% local, with possible exceptions for smaller low-income communities. Now, if you'd like to hear more about this and other of the Pew Foundation's research into flood-prepared communities, tomorrow a Pew researcher named Matthew Fuchs will be in town as part of the state visit by the National Caucus of Environmental Legislators. We don't know exactly when he'll be arriving. I think Representative Stade may be getting out information to all of us with those details. But he has written a new report, Mitigation Matters, that'll cover this and other issues related. So what can we do to pre-position Iowa to maybe be one of the early adopters to take advantage of those funding streams, $300 million to $500 million per year potentially? I think my amendment could be one of those steps. The amendment, as I said, asks the Flood Mitigation Board, as part of their analysis of projects that we are currently undertaking, to determine whether those projects include components that would enhance that project's current or future qualification, or that areas, that county, whatever the jurisdiction may be, would they qualify for that pre-disaster hazard mitigation assistance that's being set up? I don't think this would be in any way disadvantage one application over another. It basically says, as an additional component, think ahead about your needs and potential needs in the future and start planning for that day now as we recover from the days we've just suffered through. Be happy to answer any questions about the amendment.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would question whether this amendment is germane.
The point is well taken. We are now back on H8008. Is there further discussion? Your point is well taken. The amendment is not germane. We are now back on H8008. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the chair recognizes Representative from Mills, Representative Seek, for closing comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I guess I'd just like to say a couple things before we wrap this part of the bill up. I really appreciate all the support we've got in this chamber since the flood began. It was like about 3 days short now of 11 months ago. It's been pretty hard. Over 80 counties in Iowa had some sort of impact or another. I'm sure it's much more than that. There's been a lot of people that have gone out of their way to help. There's a lot of reps from both sides of the aisle, not only in the House and the Senate, that have come over to see the damage. We particularly took a big hit in my district. I would especially like to thank Representative McConkie. I sit on the Flood Mitigation Board with him. He's done an outstanding job in understanding the problem and helping work through everything. I'd like to thank Representative Jacobson. His district was impacted. Representative Hanusa for all the support, and Representative Winschittle for everything they've done during this flood to help their constituents over there where we've been the most impacted. I would also like to thank Representative Running Marcourt. She was very kind in sending me huge packets of information from the flood of 2008 in eastern Iowa. And there's a lot of good information in there. I don't think we should duplicate processes. So all the way along, I've received a lot of help. And I just want to tell you that all the people that were victims of this last year's flood are truly appreciate everything you're doing in this chamber. I would also like to say that let's hope that there's no extra flooding this year on the Mississippi or Missouri. The experts are telling us that could be not so, but I'm prayful that that happens. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would like to move the amendment.
The gentleman from Mills moves the adoption. The gentleman who's called for the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall, has asked for a division. Is there a second? Second. Representative Hunter is second. Is now division and a record. You have all heard the motion. This is now record roll call vote. The clerk will open the machine and record your vote. Height is aye. Bossman, aye. Bloomingdale, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. Those voting aye, 100. Those voting zero. Those voting nay, zero. Absent or not voting, zero. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on Senate file 2144 as amended. Is there further discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I had the pleasure of serving on the subcommittee for House Study Bill 593. I enjoyed working with colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and I would say that passage of the last amendment speaks well to the process here. Good cooperation between the two parties following last week's Flood Mitigation Board, and a real desire to help dollars reach the communities that have been impacted by flooding over the last year. At the subcommittee and throughout the last week or so where this bill has been moving forward, there's been a lot of communication with Iowa Department of Homeland Security. And they gave us a handout at subcommittee that I think points to the good effort, but also some of the questions that clearly still remain. This handout, and I know that I emailed it to my members, but it should be available to all of you. And the front sheet from this department handout details all of the different applications that have been thus far submitted to the Iowa Flood Mitigation Board. These projects and applications come from every corner of the state. On the western side of the state, they include Hamburg and Fremont County and Mill. And on the eastern side of the state, you've got communities like Bettendorf, Buffalo, and Davenport. This is truly a statewide issue. This is something that, unfortunately, we have to consider may happen more frequently and with greater gravity in coming years. And some of the questions that I still have, they remain on what is our planning process? How seriously are we taking this challenge? Are we making sure that the dollars from the state level match up with the local and federal levels so that we are expediting dollars to these communities and also doing so in a deliberate and thoughtful way? Now, last year, the legislature, before we adjourned, we appropriated $15 million for this effort. And I asked at that point in time, was $15 million enough? And it was hard to get an answer and really pin down whether that $15 million would function properly and reach the communities of greatest urgency. We come back here several months now later and are about to appropriate $21 million to the same cause. And at the subcommittee, I asked, is $20 million enough? Or do we have a plan past that? Do we have a plan for fiscal year 21 and the budget that we will be considering later this year still? And I'd like to ask the chair of the subcommittee, Representative Moore, if he might be willing to yield to a few questions.
Will Representative Moore yield?
Yes, I will.
You're in order.
Thank you, Representative. I've enjoyed working on this bill with you. On the top of this sheet that I've been looking at, knowing that we did $15 million at the end of last year, $21 million here, so roughly $36 million. At the top of this sheet, there are 35 applications and $164 million of need that we know of right now. And it shows on this sheet also that the estimated state dollars that they expect us to have to contribute is well north of $100 million, closer to $117. So if we spent, after today, $36 million, but we know that there's a likelihood that we have to reach $116, $117 million, what's the plan between now and the end of session to help us close that gap, and how do we fine-tune where state dollars and federal dollars go?
Thank you, Representative Hall. That's a very good question. Let me address that by talking for a minute about the amendment that we just adopted. In the amendment, it requires that we will receive monthly reports from the Flood Mitigation Board, Department of Homeland Security, on how these dollars are being spent and how what other future dollars are going to need to be spent. So we think by that amendment, we'll have a monthly update working more closely with the Department of Homeland Security and the Flood Mitigation Board. Secondly, we'll be in constant contact with them, not just reporting on the monies we're spending today, but as other projects come online, what do they see as our next immediate needs? So we're going to be monitoring this very closely in the months ahead.
Thank you, Representative. Is it your anticipation that before we adjourn for this year, there will be another expenditure made by the state of Iowa to address flood relief?
I would say, to answer that question, Representative Hall, we're going to rely on the Flood Mitigation Board's recommendations, Department of Homeland Security, as well as our monthly reports. I can't guarantee you right now if additional dollars will be needed and when, but I can guarantee you we'll be monitoring it very closely, and that will determine our next steps.
And depending on the quality of information, I know that you say that we've asked for some greater frequency, but the quality of information and understanding that it is truly being coordinated between the federal and state levels, do we have any guarantee as to how quickly some of that information will come, or that the Homeland Security updates, though they may be coming monthly, are going to point us in the direction of what's the need and how can we most quickly address it? What's to guarantee that?
The Department of Homeland Security, I think, does a good job of matching federal dollars and state dollars together to accomplish the goals that we want as far as helping solve the flood problem. We will continue to rely on them to seek federal dollars, to match it with state dollars, to tell us what the needs are going to be for additional state dollars. They're the ones who do that, not people in this room. And I'm very confident in their ability to continue to work with us on future needs.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you for taking time to visit for a few questions. The point that I'd like to make and just really emphasize is that there is no guarantee made today that the state is going to make further contribution. Now, I understand that we may listen and get all of the information that we ask for, and the hope is that we will do it in a timely manner. But there is a huge gap that already exists on paper between the $117 million anticipated for the state to fund and after today the $36 million that the state will have funded. And as a member of the minority party and doing diligence as a member of this subcommittee, I've asked around and I've tried to get better information, but it doesn't point me in a feeling that all of the different stakeholders are currently planning and communicating with each other. It was mentioned at subcommittee that there was an additional $90 million of funding that the feds had chipped in. And I asked Homeland Security, what can those dollars be spent on? And they said, we have to wait for a few more months to find that out. As a grant writer, I know that generally, anytime you've got approval to spend federal dollars, it's pretty well spelled out already. And so I did some further asking and reached out to federal legislators. And when they looked at the $90 million in housing and urban development grants, what I found out and the information I got is that 75% of that $90 million is earmarked for housing needs. When again, on this sheet, and some of the most expensive costs to the state are not housing or HUD-related needs, they are flood mitigation and levee improvement and the things that keep our residents most safe. So I just want to say, I will be voting for this, but we need to really get on the ball. And we need to, as legislators providing oversight, also ensure that all of these agencies and departments are communicating, because Homeland Security was not able to answer that question at the subcommittee, and I did have to go to federal legislators in order to get the information. That's something I hope that they're aware of and able to work through, because this is going to become a huge cost to our state. I'll close just by saying this. Everybody's entitled to their own vernacular and whether they want to call this climate change or not. But sitting in a presentation in the Natural Resources Committee last week, I was reminded that 2019 was the wettest year on record for the state of Iowa. 50 inches of precipitation fell on our state, and that is 16 inches more than our state has historically averaged. That means the soil's going to be wetter, conditions are going to become more humid, we are more at risk for flooding in the winter and spring. And when we become more at risk for those spring floods, that means it's getting your crops in the ground later, less yields, more fertilizer, because they're not taking up water from the soil in the same way. These are complex challenges. We can't just spitball the numbers anymore. We need to put together a plan. And I hope that my colleagues in the majority will work together in doing so. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Masher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would Representative Moore yield?
Representative Moore yield?
Certainly.
You're in order, Representative Masher.
Thank you, Representative Moore, and thank you for bringing this before us today. Obviously, there is definitely a need. I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I have concerns about long-term planning, because if this is our new normal, I want to know what is the vetting process in terms of determining whether we put money into levees or whether we say that's going to be a wetland now, and who is making those decisions. I noticed you had mentioned Homeland Security, Flood Mitigation Board. I didn't hear the Flood Center in that discussion. Are they involved in this process?
Representative Master, I don't know if they're involved specifically. We do rely on the Flood Mitigation Board and the Department of Homeland Security. I'm sure they consult with other agencies and departments that I'm not aware of, but those are the two we rely on most frequently.
Well, the Flood Center is one of our agencies. It is one of our departments that is monitoring every stream and river in the state. And so when we look at prevention, I hope we're also consulting those experts who have a great deal of expertise in those areas. So my question to you, are you looking at a dedicated source of funding going forward? Because obviously we can't just keep dipping into general fund monies and pulling out whatever number we come up with each year. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm asking about long-term and dedicated sources of funding. There's nothing in this that talks about that. What is your plan going forward?
The plan going forward, Representative Masher, is the biggest contributor to this financially is the federal government. And so before we make any moves, it's important for us to know what the federal government, FEMA, federal agencies will fund, and then we will look for other sources, be it state general fund revenues, other funding sources that might be required to match that. But before we make any commitments here or with other sources, we feel it's important to watch for federal dollars because that's the biggest contributor to solving this problem and fixing these levies and so forth.
So we had the privilege of flying over the Mississippi River when they had their flooding this spring with the Corps of Engineers. And so they were identifying the levee breaches on the Mississippi, and they were identifying which ones they were not going to replace because it didn't make any sense. And they knew it would again, those levees would be breached if it floods again, and we know, or when it floods again.
Yes.
So those are the kinds of decisions I think we should have in terms of they need to be reporting to us where they are doing flood mitigation and prevention. Because it doesn't make much sense for us to pour money into levees that are going to be breached year after year after year. And that's where I'm asking for, again, a dedicated source of funding and also a plan that shows we're looking at prevention and that we are actually putting dollars into that. We may need to move towns. We've done that before. We may need to, again, abandon farmlands. We know that. We need to be able to address that. So my question again to you is, what has been shared with you in terms of plans going forward to make sure that we're making good decisions?
Well, I think at this stage, Representative Masher, my answer to you is the same. Before we do anything, we're in consultation through our Flood Mitigation Board and Homeland Security, working with the federal government, so that we do this in a partnership approach. And I might add, because I don't think this has been said here today, the projects we're approving funding for today are those that are shovel ready. There are other projects that aren't shovel ready, some in my part of the state, but we're not committing funds to those because they're not ready to be worked on at this time. So the programs that we're funding today were identified by the Flood Mitigation Board, Department of Homeland Security, that are shovel ready in partnership with the federal government. That's how this came to be today. That's how I think the next few steps are going to be accomplished as well, through that partnership.
I appreciate your response. I guess I'm not so concerned about whether they're shovel ready. I just don't want us to have to be reshoveling next year for the same projects. And I guess that's what I'm asking, to have a good vetting process for every project we examine and to make sure that we are doing what we can with prevention. And that's again where some places may need to become wetlands, and we should be looking at that very thoroughly before we start again doing any mitigation for those projects. So I'm hoping that all of our collective minds can come together. I hope they're using the Flood Center and being able to utilize the data that they are providing us, because they have good information. It's just a matter whether we utilize it right. So I'd ask again that I support this wholeheartedly, believe it's needed and necessary, but I hope that we look forward for a dedicated source of funding and that we also focus on prevention. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Moore, for closing remarks on Senate File 2144.
Mr. Speaker, people of Iowa, communities of Iowa, are looking for our assistance, and today is the day we're going to give that. I move the bill as amended.
The gentleman from Scott moves the bill to be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 2144, a bill for an act relating to the financial and regulatory matters by making and supplementing appropriations for the fiscal year beginning in July 1, 2019 and including effective date provisions being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. Clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Dolacek votes aye. Meyer Polk votes aye. Losey votes aye. Jones votes aye. Bloomingdale votes aye.
Bossman
votes aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 100. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 0. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to have passed the House. Are there any objections to the title? The chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 2144 to the Senate.
Are there objections? The chair hears none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, with the passage of Senate File 2144, I ask unanimous consent to withdraw House File 2244.
Are there objections? Chair hears none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the attention of the body, that concludes floor action for this evening. Please come here bright and early tomorrow morning, ready to go. We intend on starting debate as early as possible after we first gavel in. That being said, Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I move the House adjourn until Tuesday, February 11th at 8:30 a.m.
Is there further business to come before the House? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House is adjourned.